Welcome to Couple of Nobodies Podcast. I'm Jeff.
I'm Brian.
And we are a couple of nobodies.
And it's been that way for a while.
We tried to be somebody.
Tried so hard to be somebody.
And now we're comfortable being nobodies. So take a journey with us as we interview people who we love and we call friends. Yeah. And maybe new people we don't call friends. But they're going to be on the show because we convince them to. But along the journey, hopefully you realize that becoming nobody is better than always trying to be somebody. So we'll see you real soon.
When you think about this concept of a Couple of Nobodies podcast, originally my thought was that we're just a couple of nobodies. Why would anybody want to listen to us? But we're just acknowledging the fact we're a couple of nobodies,
right?
Who are interviewing somebody that people probably do want to listen to.
Yeah.
Whatever author or musician or artist or minister or leadership guru that we can convince via emailing their assistants to jump on a podcast with us. Originally, it was like we're just a couple of nobodies interviewing somebody. But then this concept of being a nobody hit deep.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you think about a nobody, It's not a bad term.
No.
Right?
I think we want to redeem it.
Yeah. Especially in a culture that's trying so hard to be somebody.
I tried so hard to be somebody.
Yeah. Or at least I need everybody to think I'm somebody.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Right. And so my bios are great, or my photos are filtered.
You should see my CV when I send people for jobs.
Yeah, and I think it really resonated in me personally, accepting the fact a couple of nobodies is not this negative thing.
I think it took me a minute. I want to still be somebody sometimes. But I think what I get comfortable with is if fame or notoriety comes at the cost of faithfulness, it's not worth it. If notoriety comes because I'm faithful, then God put me there.
Yeah. So I get a chance to do a lot of things around the world, and usually we keep a lot of that stuff just in-house. If you're not a part of it happening, we're not talking about it.
I get so mad that you don't tell people about it.
Right. So, but Matthew 6 was always a thing for me. When you do something good, do it in secret. And then, like, I was in this Jeep with a pastor overseas, and we're having this conversation, and he says, "Well, Brian, what about the fact that Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, glorify your Father in heaven?" And then he hit me with this mic drop. He said, "If it's your work for his glory, good. If it's his work for your glory, that's a problem."
Yeah.
And if the fame is coming because of faithfulness, or not even fame, if influence.
Right.
Because I think you can be famous but not be influential.
That's true.
If the influence is coming because of God's work and the faithfulness, then I think it's okay. I'm not against it. But I feel like it was an expectation. You have to become influential.
Yeah.
In a career path, in an industry, in a ministry.
And the word influence got hijacked by social media. But it's still the same thing. You're trying to persuade somebody of something.
Yeah.
And I think for our generation, and our generation that kind of got into ministry early on and then social media took over, we were trying to convince people that we were bigger than we were. And I think for you and I, we got really comfortable being authentic in who God made us to be and comfortable with where God's put us to be.
Yeah, and recognizing that when we say we're nobodies, a couple of nobodies, we generally mean nobodies to the general public.
Yeah, we have no fame.
But there's this part of us that I know there are places my name matters.
I hope so.
Yeah, like, and not just, well, my wife loves me or my mom, but there are places that you have influence. That you're not, there are rooms that you go in and you're not a nobody in that room. Mm-hmm. Your opinion has value. But when I'm a nobody to the masses, sometimes it feels like I'm nobody to everybody.
Yeah. There are people in town who know my name, But if I leave town, nobody knows me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Now, again, what we've come comfortable with is that it's not about our name being famous, but everything we've done as we've moved towards being healthy individuals, and we've talked about that, and we'll probably talk about that over the course of the show,
yeah,
is that the name of Jesus becomes well-known way more than my name. And when we talk about being a nobody, it's this idea that, like, it's not about the name, our name becoming known. It's about the name of Jesus getting known across the world or in the rooms we're in. Maybe we don't become Reinhard Bonnke or Billy Graham or these mega whatever who all over the world people know. But, man, we're famous with a couple people.
And this value in, like, nobodies have so much power. Like, the nobodies need to create art.
Yeah.
Write books.
For sure.
Like, start companies, start businesses, mm-hmm. dream ideas. Because if we let the somebodies do everything, there's a lot of stuff that's never going to get done.
100%.
And I think that I was in some moments trying to become somebody, and then I would do something great. Once I become somebody to a lot of people, now I'm ready to do the great thing. When a lot of the history that we've looked at, the people who have done great things were nobodies while they were launching out.
Their impact came before their influence sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think for
that's
me,
really good.
I think for me, this idea of a nobody is a check on my own pride. I'm just dead level honest. Like, if I got known, it would be easy for me to take first place and Jesus take second.
Yeah.
Jesus would be my silver medal winner.
I'm going to make sure he's in the picture. Okay. Like,
yeah.
He's in the photo.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to selfie together, but it's not, I'm going to make sure I'm in the best lighting.
So as a dad who has grown up kids who are dating, you always put their plus one on the end of the photo. Cause if they break up, you can cut them out.
Yikes.
And I think sometimes when we become famous, we put Jesus on the edge of the photo.
Yeah.
Cause we can just cut him out at some point if we need to.
Yeah.
But using that photo metaphor, I think he's got to be in the best lighting, be front and center, and I'm next to him and in making sure that he's got the spotlight.
Yeah, I heard a minister say one time that there are a few things that humans can't handle. They're too heavy.
Yeah.
One of those things is being worshipped.
For sure.
Like, it's not that God's in heaven like, oh, I'm so jealous, I can't believe that people love Stephen Furtick so much, or Elevation Worship, or
yeah.
Jen Johnson is getting too big that Jesus is jealous of her. But it's, if someone is that worship is too heavy,
right,
it crushes you. And when our, not our goal, but when the trajectory of our decisions
mm-hmm.
is notoriety and influence, it becomes this grandiose worship.
This is totally a plug. So if somebody can make this happen, make it happen for us. A guy named Al Andrews. He's in the Nashville area. He has a ministry therapy center called Porter's Call that is for specifically the people of the music industry or the at-large fame industry of Nashville.
Okay.
And he talks about this. Same idea, Brian. That our souls are not meant to carry fame. So when you show up to Nashville with your guitar and nobody knows you, and you strike a deal with whoever, and 6 months later you're on the biggest stages and everybody screams your name, that quick escalation usually crashes quickly too.
Yeah.
And he talks about that our souls are not built for fame. And he does a lot of sort of working with that group on how to handle fame. And so for you and I as young men, I think in chasing faithfulness, we wanted a little bit of fame. As grown men, we kind of got to a place of going, we're just really okay with just being faithful.
Yeah, and recognizing there would never have been enough affirmation.
No.
In the influence, the numerical fame. The followers on social media mm-hmm. or the people who attend the conferences or however many people who read your book or your blog or your or the podcast. And even this platform it's not built on like the Brian and Jeff, the name of a person.
No.
It's like, okay, it's a couple of nobodies. Theoretically, 5 years from now, we could hand a couple of nobodies to a couple of other nobodies.
That'd be awesome.
And they just run with it.
Mm-hmm. And probably do better than me would.
Yeah, they probably will. I hate you guys.
future us that's not us, we don't like you.
I hate you guys for doing it so much better. There is this honest place, though, that we want, like, I want to matter.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to metrically fit that in.
And I hope in the conversations we have and the guests we have, we start to land on, and maybe this is just therapy for you and me, I don't know.
I'm okay with that.
Figuring out the measure of what matters.
Yeah.
It's not in follower counts. It's not in downloads. It's not in books sold. It's not in even the people who attend a church we speak at. I think it really is success is measured in faithfulness. And for us, you know, we're in different tracks. You travel the world doing missions. I do a lot of other things. I coach, I mentor, I do all kinds of other things. Come sometimes speak.
Yeah.
And it's not, we're running the same race in different lanes. So mattering means different things to both of us.
Yeah.
But the big picture is, were we faithful to what we were asked to do?
And there's no, like righteousness in obscurity. It's not like obscurity makes you inherently more righteous. I hate that there are times when I go to third world countries or go places that have a lot of poverty and I take a team or something to a place like that. And they get there and like, man, but these people, they're in poverty, but they really know Jesus. I wish sometimes we knew Jesus like they did, as if the poverty is the thing that people believe brings them closer to Jesus.
Right.
So then the solution for the world is just more poverty. So that's,
I mean, it's worked for me.
I don't know.
Just kidding.
But I don't think obscurity is like this righteous path, like where we're like, oh, I'd say we as nobodies in obscurity, we have it right. All these other people who are seeking influence, or I think there are people who are running the algorithms, who are boosting the posts, who are doing all the right things. There are people who are writing the books and then going and trying to sell them. That they're doing it righteously. They really want to make Jesus known. But the pressure that comes on maintaining that momentum, that followership. Yeah.
I think it's interesting, like, Jesus was an influencer. Like, I don't even know that I like saying that out loud. But, I mean, we look at some of the stories, and he's got 5, 6, 10, 12,000 people showing up to hear him give a talk.
Like, yeah.
And sit for hours, like so long that they were hungry that if they had walked back to town, they'd have passed out. Like, bro had like influence, the original influencer, maybe not original, but I mean, he was an influencer. But he also learned these really great things of pulling away to be by himself with the Father.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe the balance we got to come to, is like, when is it okay? Or when is it right that God puts us in spaces and places to have influence? And when is it right that we need to just pull back and be with our Father? And always, what Jesus did so well, and I'm sure we'll have more conversations about this, is like, it was about him, but it wasn't. Like, it was always about his Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Like, he was always about that. And for us as believers, if you're not, cool, we can still have that conversation. But for us as believers, we want to make sure that it's about Jesus, about our Father in heaven, because pride is really easy to get caught up in. As somebody who has lived it, crucified it, lived it again, and had to crucify it again, pride's really easy to show up, and it becomes about how good I did the things for God.
I think with Jesus, he had such great purpose that popularity was the side effect. Like, his purpose was so valuable for the people of the day that popularity happened organically. And that still happens like that, where it's somebody has content that's really so good that becoming an influencer just happens. That what they're doing is important. And so the byproduct of doing something important sometimes means influence, following, notoriety. What I hope as people listen to us, one, that they're processing some of the same things we are. Hopefully people that we're 10 years further down the road, and some people are catching it in their 20s earlier than I did.
Please catch in your 20s.
Some people who are right where we are, and some people who are ahead of us, who are also coaching and mentoring and can use some of the experiences and the people that we talk to help. But I hope that this gives people real permission and this boldness to accept the fact that you can be a nobody and then still do whatever you want to do as a nobody, as a person who is still in obscurity. The people at your church don't know that you can sing yet. Sing anyways.
Yeah.
Post the video. Right? Nobody knows that you have tons of notes on your computer of book ideas, but write.
For sure.
And create.
My therapist, who, funny enough, lives in town but is moving at the end of the
month. Ouch, bro.
Yeah.
That's tough. It's okay. We'll talk off camera.
Yeah, I'll get a new therapist, I guess. But he said something that was so life-changing to me. He said, when you become the real you, you'll find that people really like the real you. And so be you, be creative, be authentic, write the songs, write the books, sing the songs, tell your story, whatever it is God's put in you, because somebody is going to like the real authentic you. And being a nobody is really about being authentic as well. It's not just being hidden. It's about being who we are genuinely created in the design of the Lord, the Imago Dei, to be, and being that and being perfectly content with being who God designed us to be.
And it's definitely, like, as a play on words, there's an element of it that it's kind of being cute in the sense of we're not nobodies.
Right.
You're not nobody. There is this value system in the kingdom that it's just built on, like, for God so loved, thought so highly, knew who you were to such an extent that ransoms heaven.
Right.
So there is this, it's coy, whatever, it's a play on words, a couple of nobodies, and I think instantly everybody knows what that means. But it's also like this deep place that a lot of us wrestle with.
Oh, for sure. I think, I can only speak for me. I have wrestled it for way longer than I want to. In the chase to be somebody. And it's incredibly freeing when you get to a point in your life where you go, I'm just okay being nobody.
Yeah.
There's no longer a striving in who we are. We're content in what God's called us to do.
What's wild, and I've had the chance to meet in my lifetime people who are really important, somebodies, famous people or political figures, and they don't treat me like I'm a nobody. Like the somebodies, I've never really been mistreated by anybody who has like lots of fame or lots of money or lots of power. A lot of times those people are trying to have some interactions with what we would call regular people.
Yeah.
And I know, like, with the other podcasts that you've been involved in, you've had, like, a lot of people that I don't know if they'll come and talk to us, or I don't know. We don't have, like, a platform that's huge that they would. But, I mean, you get a lot of yeses from people.
We got yeses, and what I learned, Brian, is, and you've learned this as well, they're incredibly normal people.
Yeah.
Like, we put them on platforms.
Yeah.
And some people do. I've encountered people who thought a lot of themselves because of fame. But most of the people are just okay being them. And by being them, God has promoted them in order to promote his name.
Yeah.
And they're just regular people who just a lot of people know.
Yeah.
Or have a gift that they've given the kingdom.
So I got to hang out with and kind of become friends with a guy that's got a lot of following. I don't intend to name drop, but we were backstage at this person's show. And I mean, the massive crowd.
Context clues, artists.
Right, artists. So we're backstage at the show. And they're walking on stage, and it's got all the stuff, like everything you would think of these massive shows. And as this person's walking by, my wife leans into their ear and says, "I know all these people are here to see you." Like 3 seconds, there's countdown, everything's happening. All these people here, but all I can think of, and she whispers this memory that's absolutely humiliating to this person, where they just made the biggest fool of themselves. And people want to be treated normal and regular. And I think that we're going to find that as we interview more and more people, as people come on the podcast. As people join conversations, we'll find more people want to be in conversations where they're treated normal.
And I hope those of you that are listening find that to be true as well. Yeah. That just because somebody wrote a book and got known, or they have a platform, or they've figured out the algorithm, or their content is hitting you right between the eyes, so to speak, it doesn't make them more than in any form or fashion.
Yeah.
It just makes them a nobody that got a little notoriety. And so I think one of the conversations we'll hit a lot is this idea of stewardship. How have people stewarded what God gave them? I think when you see, and unfortunately we're in also a time and period where we're seeing a lot of people in ministry fall, a lot of things get exposed, and a lot of bad stuff happen or being come to light. I think some of that is just when you start believing your own press more than believing what God's called you to do. And I mean, I'm not saying we won't encounter that ever. But my hope is that the conversations we have are genuine, authentic, that they help equip and empower you as a listener to become a nobody that does something incredible for God.
Yeah. And that... we can have a lot of fun.
We're gonna have fun.
In the conversations, in the banter of treating people normal.
Right. If you know Brian and I, there are gonna be jokes.
Yeah.
Probably not funny jokes, but there will be jokes.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, I will tell several dad jokes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Really, really poor dad jokes.
Yeah, I'll just probably laugh.
He's a good son.
Yeah.
So, all that said, we're still a couple of nobodies. But we're inviting you to join us on this conversation, this journey. We'll see where it goes. We're going to have some friends at the table with us and some friends in the conversation, some people you know, some people you don't know, some people we want you to know because they have something to give the kingdom. So, over the next couple months, years, decades, centuries, however long the Lord leads, we'll be in Brian's basement. Just a couple nobodies.